HD Smartcast.
You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to this edition of On the Record. This week's episode has a special guest. We have Union Minister Smriti Irani, who is very hard to corner for an interview. But the reason why she agreed to have this sit-down interview with me is because she's now become an author of a novel. Her first work of fiction, it's called Lal Salaam, and it's been published by Westland. And I wanted to find out why she named her book that. Then, of course, I read the 260-odd pages book, and what I can say is it surprised me. It surprised me because it's really not what you would expect for a minister to write. And strangely enough, and her publishers and she herself weren't really happy, but I would say that it's kind of done in the style of Chetan Bhagat. When I say that, what I mean, of course, is that it's quite pacey. And she manages to, it's a really complicated story because it's set in a small town and it's about the police officer being posted there in Chhattisgarh to avenge the killing or to perhaps get to the bottom of the killing of his best friend, another police officer, by what seems like Maoists. And in that process, he ends up in the small town. He befriends various people, including a woman journalist. And in a very complicated story, in the end, he gets to who they are. And it is a bit of a twist. So I wanted to ask her where she got the idea from, where she drew her characters from. How does she have the time? Remember that she's a cabinet minister. She's also the person whose big achievement in 2019 election was that she defeated Rahul Gandhi in the constituency, in the Gandhi Bara constituency of Amethi. So amid all of that, how does she get the time? So this is our conversation at her residence on Tuesday afternoon. So Smriti Irani, thank you so much for speaking to Hindustan Times. You know, I'm amazed at having and surprised at reading the book, because we have this image of Smriti Irani, cabinet minister, always in Amethi, your constituency. So I wanted to know, how did you, you know, what was the process that you followed? How did you get into this and how did you have the time? First of all, can you talk about how did you have the time?
In fact, if you look at the acknowledgements of the book, that was in a drive from Noida to Delhi. And my editor was literally chewing me apart, saying, I need to go to final print and copy. And can I please now have the acknowledgements? So it was a 20-minute drive that I wrote the acknowledgements. So I think one of my best friends as a writing instrument was my phone. Because I was writing a lot of it on phone as I traveled. I wrote a lot at night. And I think that the fact that I could rewrite it in one stretch, some portions, for me was a delight, because those are the portions that I see a lot of people tell me that we needed to go through those portions very quickly. So the honest truth about the book is that I was writing another book, and my editor had been waiting for that book to come to life for about 2.5-3 years. And I think she was at the precipice of just giving up on the idea of me writing a book. And that is why, just to kind of wrangle her back into my trap, I said that, you know, there is a fiction that I'm thinking of writing. And I think she just wanted to humor me. And she was seated exactly where you were seated. And she was like, I'm done with this meeting and I'll go after 10 minutes and tell everybody at office that the Smriti Irani project is dead. And I kind of verbalized what I wanted to write, because this was an idea that I carried with me for a decade.
This idea?
The book's idea is something, and a storyline is something that I had carried with me for a decade. And I think by the time I was done with my 20-minute narration, Kartika said, interesting, but can I see what it looks like on paper? So we kind of agreed that this had her interest. Typed it out, sent it to her. she was a bit circumspect because she said, yeah, but then how many years would you take to write this one? And I wrote it pretty quickly.
Like how long? Because this is not like a...
It's not a huge book. It's an easy read.
But it's 300 odd pages, yeah, right?
It's about 70,000 words.
Yeah. So how long did it take you?
Like I said, the book in terms of development was with me for 10 years. I think that between my editor and I, it went back and forth on the edit table for 3 months. And before that, it was another 6 to 7 months.
To just put it down on paper.
To put it down on paper. Because I had given her the whole landscape of the story. So it was not as though the middle part of the story or the end had to be thought of. So the whole package was presented to her verbally. I think that till she did not have the book end to end, it is to her credit, her patience, because I was insistent that I will not give you one chapter, then second chapter, and then third chapter. So, knowing Kartika, she's been more than patient and kind.
But you give it in one go.
I give it in one go. And what I like about the team that I'm working with is the fact that they treated me on the substance of what I wrote. The pact between me and my editor was that don't let me bring out something which would be not up to your own mark of standards. Not that I needed to have that conversation with her. She herself enjoys a credibility in the publishing world. And she was kind enough to, you know, be strict. You literally had to fight with her for everything that you wanted to keep. But I think that what I enjoyed about the process was to convince her of the story. So I think that why I'm extremely excited about the project is that I could measure up to her standards of editing.
Mm, mm. You know that when, as soon as people go to the bookshop, go to Khan Market, I know you go to Khan Market, we always see you there.
It is a Khan Market bookshop that got it all going. In fact,
really? Like,
yeah, Bari Sons at Khan Market. Yeah. I used to buy a lot of my books from there. I would pop into Fakir Chand time and again. And Anuj would keep looking at
Anuj Bari,
he would keep, you know, seeing me discuss books. Till one day, I think he could not contain himself anymore. He said, you know, you can write. I was like, yeah, you must be saying this to every politician who comes through the door. Because they write dime a dozen. He was like, no, you can write. And I said, padega kaun? I write stuff which Lutyens Delhi will not like. He said, who cares? Just write if you like it. And Kartika, on the other hand, this is like going parallel. It's like the gods deemed it fit for me to have a book published. Because Kartika was known to my nephew. She was my nephew's editor. So my nephew, when he knew that I was writing and I wanted to write, he said, you know, you have to meet my editor. And Kartika was like, yeah, okay. So it was those kind of conversations. Yeah, okay. So I did have other publishers who were kind enough to approach me to write a book. But they had a fixed template that they wanted me to fit my writing into.
So, what does that mean? Like,
I think they basically wanted to explore the potential of... Just Smriti Irani, the book was secondary to the fact that Smriti Irani is doing a project. For this publishing house, the book mattered. And I think that is where my comfort stemmed from. That they were as excited about the story, they were as excited about the narrative, and they did not want to pull me down to a particular silo.
And Anuj had read your writings. How did you know that you write?
I've actually written extensively. Earlier for television, I had also written a few blogs, and I had written newspaper columns.
I remember your blogs. Yeah, yeah.
So,
all of that.
He must have read something. But I think my descriptions about certain books were so vivid and it was impromptu that he said, maybe if you start, you know, just recording what you think of things, it would make for a good read.
Is that how you did it? Like voice?
No,
notes?
I actually wrote. I was exasperating Kartika on one hand and Anuj on the other. Because he said, why would you just record what you say and then, you know, transcribe it? And I said, no, till I don't put pen to paper, I do not kind of enjoy the process.
So you would write long form?
I would write long form, tear it, then write long form 10 pages, then kind of summarize it in 2 pages, then at times write it on my phone. I would do all kinds of things.
And you had...
And then I would amalgamate it all in an email. And then...
Wow.
So when I started the Khan marketing, I want to ask you is, so then people see the cover saying Lal Salaam and Smriti Irani.
She choked and I said Lal Salaam. She was like,
you chose the title.
I do.
Why? Why? You know, because it comes with connotations, right? It comes with connotations.
If you read the book, you know why.
Yeah, I know. I know now why you said. But I'm saying as soon
as people judge the whole story.
So when people just
I narrated the whole story and I said, do you know what I want the title to be? Lal Salaam. And I think she choked.
Anybody would?
She choked. If you read the book, you know why.
I know why. Now. But I'm saying some people do judge the book by the cover. And they'll be like...
They judge the author by the cover also.
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll be like, Smriti Irani on Lal Salaam? Like, I guess it
intrigues
people.
Trying to appropriate
people.
Yeah.
Things? Yes.
Now, I think that the book, if you read it end to end, explains why the title. And as a writer, as a creator, I wanted that to happen. That... when you go to the last page, you say, I did not want a book to be an expression or a journey which titillates you, let's say, in the beginning. By the middle of it, you say, arey, achha, aisa hai. By 3/4 of the book, you already presume who the killer is. I just wanted a reader to have an experience end to end and say, worth it.
You know, I was just trying to think. I know of a diplomat, he's now the High Commissioner in Canada, who's obviously written like a really successful like novels, but I couldn't think of like ministers who've written novels while in the thing. So you do, I mean, it takes a lot to create this imaginary world, right? Like Vikas Swarup, I'm talking about Vikas Swarup.
If you are from a creative background, then it's not that difficult. It is a talent that I've been happy to be a part of for over 2.5 decades. And if you've begun in the creative field when you're just barely 18, 20, then it's not very difficult. It is a practice that doesn't leave you. It's just a story idea has to excite you enough to kind of go end to end very quickly. Mm-hmm. But like I said, the other project that I was writing, it's been 3 years now. So it depends. That is a non-fiction. So it depends.
Can you tell us a little bit
about that? She'd kill me. But what I liked about my writing experience thus far is that not one piece of writing is similar to the other. The fact that I can oscillate between, let's say, fiction, non-fiction, is something that I enjoyed.
And just fill us in for those of us who don't know that. I know, of course, that you know we know how much of a force you were when you were an actor. So how was... Were you writing the scripts as well? Were
yes.
you
writing
the
I was writing dialogue Kyukisar? Sheets. I was writing dialogue sheets.
Which ones? Which ones?
There were some scenes which you... If you see when Ansh dies, those are areas which I did. If you see the scene where Ansh and I have a conversation about he raping a woman, those were all done end to end.
By you.
Yeah. So I think I've been quite blessed that I've had the opportunity of working with creative people who've given me that kind of freedom to express myself as long as I fulfill their creative obligations to their organizations. Mm. So for me, it's been a tremendous journey as a creative person. Ekta gave me that leeway. I, in fact... produced and wrote the concept of a TV show called Moneybend.com, which was a comedy, which is far removed from, you know, the Saas Bahu VP stories that I did. I wrote the concept note for a show on Sony called Virudh. And for Virudh, I participated and collaborated with one of the most prolific screenplay writers in Indian film, Kamlesh Pandey, who wrote Rang De Basanti. So for me, the whole process of engaging with people like Kamlesh Pandey, with writing something which is a concept note for Thodi Si Zameen, Thoda Sa Asman, which is again a chawl setting and a whole labor union fight with an industrialist. So none of my projects looked similar. So I could, moneyben.com was a theater presentation which was converted for television by me. I've written enough. This is my first novel though.
Yeah. And very, very readable. So this is what I was curious about. That when I read the book, you go into details. And I know that because I've been a crime reporter, I know, yeah, that's totally true, right? So I want to know how you did your research. I don't want to get into details because I don't want to spoil it for your readers. But, you know, for example, that what, you know, for example, the CDR things, what makes, what when certify the CDR. Me, then for other things also, there are little details. For example, the when you write the manifesto.
I will write
the manifesto, communist manifesto of the Maoists. That requires, so how did you get that research?
I, in fact, quite enjoyed the fact that I could relate all this to the edit team and explain to them that these are the nitty-gritties which need to stand up in a court of law because judgments have to be based on properly presented evidence and how a case falls apart if the evidence is not properly presented, or for that matter, how people get discouraged in law enforcement agencies when a judgment comes which is not expected. So I think that for me, the social political experience I've had for two decades in the country came handy.
No, but give more details.
I have worked extensively as a young political activist in Gadchiroli. I have worked in Chhattisgarh. I have worked in Talasari. So I have worked in these areas. I have had the privilege of meeting officers who have served in these areas, some who have retired. So if you read a part of the manifesto, these are part of their own discoveries. And
so they shared those with you and said
Yes, retired officers were more than happy. There are some who are still in service, who have served the cause of the Constitution very well. So for me, between my experience in Naxal-affected areas as a political activist myself, I've been on the political and social field since 2002.
Yeah.
And before
in Rajya Sabha 2004 onwards, right?
No, I actually was the USAID ambassador to India in the year 2000. And after I finished my services as the USAID WHO ambassador, we brought in the whole ORS with zinc solution into the country. So I've had that privilege of serving. And 2003 onwards, I was in active politics. So for me, I've now become a third-time MP. But I think most of the book stems from my experience as a young activist, things that I have seen on the field. But the intricacies of courts and those aspects that you talk about, I think these are part of the legalese that you pick up as a part of your experience.
Fascinating. Okay, so it is also quite violent, right? So that, where did you draw from? Like,
Naxalism is violent. There's nothing rose-petalish about it. I think it has been gruesome. It has torn apart families. It has blown to smithereens well-meaning citizens. It has brought to death our service people, paramilitary forces. It has seen a lot of struggle by administration to ensure that the law is implemented. So to presume that Naxalism will have a sense of romance would be to do a great injustice to the sacrifices of many people in the paramilitary forces, in the armed forces.
If there's a messaging, because it deals so much, I have to ask you this, deals so much with Naxalism, which, and left-wing terrorism is something that, you know, we're all, I mean, of course, it's reduced now. So many districts, it's reduced. But if there is a messaging that one takes away from your book, what would you like that
to
be?
The fact that you seek a message from a fiction book, I think, is one of our achievements as a writing and edit team. Nobody looks for a message in a fiction book.
No.
Nobody does. People want to enjoy a book. I think that responsibility is incumbent upon us that if people look for a message, what it is that you need to continue to believe in the supremacy of your constitution. You need to continue to establish your faith in the fact that institution and democracies deliver.
And because you can't help, I mean, once reading it, that, and I love the fact that, you know, the journalist plays a really one of the
key roles. There were a few journalists.
And the romance and the flirting and all of that.
There were a few journalists, and especially a female journalist, to say the least, who was extremely afraid as to how I would portray a female journalist, given that she said, you're a right-wing writer. I'm like, I'm just a writer. She said, you know, I wondered how the female journalist would be portrayed in your book. And I'm happy that all the female journalists who have read the book have a smile on their face.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're human.
No, so I wanted to ask you, because, you know, I know that you've also, being a woman politician, you've also faced the brunt of like a very inquisitive media, right? I don't know whether, I'm sure that sometimes they would have been fair, unfair. So I wanted to ask you, how do you see the scrutiny? Because women face the scrutiny much
more,
right?
Female journalists.
It's not female journalists, I'm just saying journalists.
No,
yeah.
I'm saying that the journalism that is being done in smaller cities, rural India, and the struggles that they have to face, and the balance that they have to walk between reporting and sensationalizing something just so that they can retain their jobs. If there is even a modicum of reflection of that in the book, then I think that we met with a little bit of success. So the intention was not to focus so much on the female part of the journalist, but on the fact that there are challenges to reporting from smaller towns, because most of the limelight is hogged in the capital or the other major cities of the country. And how dusty towns and journalism in those areas is a challenge. The fact that you need to balance between reporting and sitting in judgment is a conversation in many a drawing rooms today, not only by journalists but also people who read, that when do you draw the line where you become a part of the story or do you just tell the story? So what does a journalist in my book do? That is for people to tell me. Whether the journalist becomes a part of the story, or whether she is the story, or whether she sits in judgment of the story, or whether she just reports facts.
And you know, you talk about the fact that a lot of retired officers or people in service, they're still there as well. Was there someone you kind of, whose life you kind of shadowed to bring it to life? Because
I can't speak about them. That was a promise that I made.
But there are people, obviously. You can't speak about them. But there are people you kind of based it on, which and you fictionalized further.
There are incidents. There are experiences. There is research that emanated from those experiences, which have helped me write a better book.
Mm. So I wanted to ask you, because I know that you're very popular in Parliament, you have friends across party lines. I wanted to ask you...
The first journalist to say it out loud.
No. So I wanted to just ask you that, what do your colleagues think?
I think a lot of them are flabbergasted. Because they only had one question. When did you find the time?
Yeah.
I think anybody who knows me by now knows that I get by with 2 hours of sleep. I always have time for something that I'm passionate about. I don't think people get so many opportunities to be, one, creative, two, to explore different facets of their own persona or their journey. So you would either get an opportunity to be an actor, or you would get an opportunity to be a social activist, or you would get an opportunity to serve in a political office. I received all these blessings together.
But you also have two youngish children.
No.
Three children.
Not that young anymore. A 20-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 31-year-old, all gone.
Really? Your youngest is?
My youngest is now 18.
Really?
Thank you for saying I look very young.
I have no idea.
I did not say that.
Of course you did. Yeah. We are the same age, by the way. Yeah. So.
We are the same age?
Yeah. We had a conversation
I had my kids very young.
Yeah, you did.
I had my kids very young.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the fact that what I'm proud about is my 18-year-old. There was a project that was going awry. And my 18-year-old stepped up and said, listen, I'm taking over this project within the family. And my husband and I sat down and I said, listen, no matter what the challenge in the project, the fact that your 18-year-old daughter stepped up and said, listen, oldies, I'm taking over, for me, that was delightful. And it was delightful. When my 31-year-old, and I've written in the book, I've dedicated the book to Shanann. She's a lawyer, and we are the only two people who stand on one side when it comes to ideological fights with the rest of the family. Because we then converse on points of law. So
she's a lawyer.
She's a lawyer.
So she helped you?
No. I think my only fear was that if this doesn't measure up legally, then I will be admonished first at home. Didn't you know this was the flaw?
Who's Mr. Goel type? Because you had fun with that character.
I had Shanann in the back of my head saying, don't mess up the courtroom scenes.
Yeah.
And don't mess up the police scenes.
Yeah.
So for me, I think the fact that my kids are nonchalant about the fact that I'm their mother. They're like, oh yeah, okay, you've written a book. Okay, can you just slow down in life? Like, no, I have to write another book.
Okay, so this explains something. Yeah, because I was under the impression that your kid was still in Sardar Patel. And, you know, you were still doing PTMs. And I was like, how do you get
I did the whole PTM thing.
Yeah.
They came out flourishing, touch wood. Because my daughter was wanting to be a chef. And typically, if you're a creative person, then the first response you get is, "Achha, padhai mein achhe nahi honge. Koi baat nahi, bana dijiye." This one... She walks in. That's my daughter, Zoe.
Hi,
baby.
I'm talking about you.
This is Sunetra Chaudhary. That's Kartika. You know my editor.
Yeah.
But Sunetra thought that he was still in Sardar Patel, the choto little thing.
Absolutely not.
She's happy to be free.
Yeah.
That explains. Huh?
And then one stepped up.
Wow. Are they reading your book, your colleagues?
I haven't. I've sat on my book because my editor refuses to give me a free copy. She's like, go order. No, keep it. Like, go order. Do you know how many colleagues I have?
I know. Yeah. 77?
Yes, a lot.
76? No. I mean, 303 plus people in the opposition who've been kind enough to call me a friend.
Yeah.
Plus Mahila Mocha, plus BJP's 22 crore people.
Yeah.
No, that's why she said no. I'm not giving a single copy.
If you enjoyed this edition of On The Record, don't forget to write to us. You can contact me on Twitter at Sunetra C and on Instagram, Miss Sunetra, to tell me what you thought of this interview and if you'd like me to interview a particular person. That's it for now. Do like and subscribe and share this podcast. I'll be back again with another edition. Till then, goodbye.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.